Thank you for getting your heart and mind in a place that is able to receive the word. And we're going to now turn to the readings of Scripture. So I ask you to open your heart and mind even wider, to let the Spirit be ready to enter your heart so that the word of God speaks to you today. Our first reading comes from the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. And I use the NRSV translation. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you're determined to bring the man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestor raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The second reading comes from the Gospel of John. It is chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This is the end of John's gospel, and this really sets the stage for what the book means and what Jesus now calls us to do. But it also shows our human side. "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails on his hand and put my finger in his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.' Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so you can come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." The word of the Lord. Amen. So there's so much in that scripture to unpack. But today we're going to focus on what's typically focused. I hope that I might present to you a different way of thinking. We are just 1 week past Resurrection Sunday. Easter. We gathered in the morning to celebrate the fulfillment of God's reconciling of the world. I wonder, are we still feeling the excitement of Easter morning? Have we eaten all the chocolate and all the leftovers? Are the Easter blooms starting to fade? Are we now back to the daily routine? You see, we have the benefit of knowing what comes next. We're capable of going back to our routines, having the confidence, presumably, that Jesus, the Christ, has risen. But I don't want to let you go there right now. Not yet. I want to take you back in time. Think of a movie that shifts from present to the past. The past is needed to give us a broader understanding of the present. This is very true for our human experience. To deal with behavior or emotions that are impacting the present, one needs to connect with experiences of the past. And as a chaplain at the VA, I work with people experiencing trauma and grief. Understanding the experiences of the past are vital to coping with the present and building hope for the future. Right now, I want you to imagine. So if you take a second, and if you need to close your eyes, go ahead. But just imagine that it is the evening of Resurrection Sunday. You are one of the apostles sitting in the upper room. There is a very different mood than the one you may have experienced last Sunday morning. Can you sense it? On that evening, as John tells us, the group of followers were behind closed doors, locked. On the other side of that door was a hostile, brutal world, one they had good reason to fear. They witnessed firsthand the depths of brutality and feared what had happened to Jesus just may happen to them. Or perhaps they would be blamed for removing the body. Either way, they couldn't conceive what was going to happen next. They all had fears and doubts. Are you there with them? Now, come back to the present. Even though we know the story, can you understand how the followers felt on that day? A few had seen the risen Christ, but they continued to fear. They continue to be confused and have doubt. And here, today, can we admit to having doubts from time to time? Barack Obama once said, "You know, my faith is one that admits some doubt." I agree with that. I find it to be an honest reflection on faith. So they are overwhelmed by fear and doubt, so much so that they don't consider all that Jesus had told them, or it still doesn't really make sense to them. Maybe they were ashamed they couldn't have saved him, and they gathered to share their deep feelings of grief and pain. Perhaps that is why Thomas wasn't with them. Thomas never lacked courage. But he was a bit of a pessimist. There can never be any doubt that he loved Jesus. John tells us in chapter 11, verse 16, that Thomas loved him enough to be willing to go to Jerusalem and die with him when the other disciples were hesitant and afraid. Scripture reads, "Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" Notice John uses the preposition with. What Thomas had expected happened. And when it came, even if he had expected it, he was brokenhearted. Perhaps so brokenhearted that he could not meet the eyes of the others, but must be alone with his grief. Regrettably, when Jesus came to the others, Thomas was not there. He did not receive the Holy Spirit. So when he received the news, when he rejoined the group, it just seemed too good to be true. He refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now some might see this as a lack of faith. But others, including me, see this as honesty. Thomas was honest with Jesus and with the disciples. Once when he didn't understand the words of Jesus, Thomas was not embarrassed to admit. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" The Lord's famous answer is one of the most memorized verses in all the Bible. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is worth noting that Jesus didn't scold Thomas for his doubt. Instead of rebuking Thomas, he had compassion for his human struggle with doubt. In fact, Jesus invited Thomas to touch his wounds and see for himself. Jesus understands our battles with doubt and invites us to come near and believe. God offers us this same grace. We have God's permission to bring our doubts and our fears to him. We can know that it's okay to pray, "Help my unbelief." This story shows us the beauty of healthy relationships, which is the depth of vulnerability and trust, and the freedom to be authentic. As the Reverend Dena Ray Mueller wrote in her 2020 sermon about Thomas, we need to look at the role of doubt in our faith. A doubter today is likely a person who searches for God and the godly life. The person is on a journey, a quest, a search to find God and the love of God. A doubter today is a person who has 1,000 questions, questions about life, love, God, existence, purpose, the divinity of Christ, and so many other questions. When I read that section, I thought of all the little toddlers and why? Today we are bombarded with violence, cynicism, cruelty, and injustice. Today's doubter is a person who struggles to live a godly life, who struggles to find the purpose of life, to understand who God is, not as an unbeliever, but one trying to reconcile reality and faith. And as the American playwright Wilson Misner said, "I respect faith, but doubt is what gives you an education." So what is the purpose of doubt in our Christian faith? We can accept that doubt is normal and perhaps healthy for human beings. All Christians, sometimes during their lives, have doubts, questions, and skepticism. This is the way that God made us, to question, to inquire, to think, to sort things out. This has been my experience for much of my life. I have been beset with many doubts, questions, which I have learned from, been inspired by, and have experienced that aha moment, even an aha moment like Thomas, where I am driven to my knees to say, "My Lord and my God." Doubts, questions, and skepticism often lead to a greater faith. Centuries ago, Copernicus doubted that the earth was the center of the universe. Christians of his era were using and quoting the Bible to prove that the earth was the center of the universe, and Copernicus doubted the validity of these people. In his doubting of their interpretation, his love and understanding of God led him to a deeper place in the world and in the wonders of God's creation. Galileo took this further to his own excommunication from the church, but a strengthened faith in God. Doubt often leads to deeper faith. Doubt sees obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions. Who believes? Faith answers, I. If we are honest with ourselves, we can admit that there are lots of times we struggle with doubt. As the writer and poet Khalil Gibran said, doubt is a feeling too lonely to know that faith is its twin. I believe God uses our faith to help others to develop their faith so that they too may begin to believe without having to rely on physical evidence. They see us working through the doubt and refreshing within us the peace that passes all understanding in spite of the trials of everyday life. It is then that our faith becomes a living testimony of trusting and believing in the resurrected Christ so that others might want to have faith that also gives hope in knowing that Christ holds our future just as much as Christ helps us in our present. It is a glorious mystery, this faith of ours. If we let it, it can move us to be courageous as the apostles in the scripture from Acts 5, where they were told again and again, stop teaching in that name. But their answer was, we must obey God rather than any human authority, for we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given those who obey him. Amen.